The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In our Christian life, there are essentially always two poles: personal holiness and apostolate. That we live the faith and we spread the faith. It's in response to Jesus' two verbs, come, which we come to him to unite ourselves with him, and go. Go to the whole world, preach the gospel to every kingdom. Today in the readings, we see both of those. First, in the house in Bethany where Jesus was always welcomed, there was a controversy. Martha was working very hard for the Lord. All she was doing in the kitchen was out of love for the Lord. Wasn't like she was doing anything evil, but she wasn't doing it with the spirit that the Lord wanted. When she came in the presence of her sister to rebuke her sister and ask Jesus to take her side in that, thinking that she had to be right. Right? I mean, because Jesus had talked so many times in the gospel about serving others, even washing their feet. He had just, as we heard yesterday, talked about the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is not someone who sits down on the other side of the road, but actually crosses the road to care for the people who are in need. And it seemed that that's what Martha was doing, and her sister Mary was just a lazy louch. But Jesus, instead of rebuking Mary, lovingly rebuked Martha. "Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things, but only one really matters. And Mary's got that wisdom and you don't." As I like to say, Jesus came to their house not to get, but to give. Not to be fed, but to feed. And Mary was the one open to the way the Lord Jesus, by his presence, wanted to change them for the better. Martha, because she was so caught up in activity, wasn't really open to what the Lord wanted to do. There's a great lesson for us in that. To see whether allowing the Lord in, allowing him to feed us, is the one thing necessary so that we can be changed and then go out and serve others with a totally different spirit. We see a similar lesson in the first reading today. On the surface level, whereas the gospel is about our receiving from the Lord, the first reading is about our preaching the faith. And when we talk about the new evangelization that the popes have been losing their voice to get all of us to participate in, as we go out and we preach Christ, one of the most important things of that message is the message of conversion. St. John the Baptist's first words to make straight the path of the Lord were, "Metanoete." Totally have a revolution in your mind. Repent. Jesus' first words, after 30 years of preparation, when he finally started crisscrossing ancient Galilee and Judea in order to preach, his first words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So there's always a message of repentance. Jonah, when he preached that message of repentance, crisscrossed that enormously large pagan city of Nineveh, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. 39 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And everybody got the message. This pagan city, from the king down to the pets, all got in sackcloth and ashes and prayed that they would be speared. The Lord heard that prayer. They, in a sense, in their own inchoate way, sat in sackcloth and ashes at the footstool of the Lord, begging for Him to feed them with His merciful love. We don't get the next part of this story of Jonah, but you would have figured Jonah would have been thrilled. I was chicken of this mission. I tried to run away all the way to the westernmost bounds of the then known world in Tarshish. Wasn't all that hard work. Thank you, Lord. This was great. No, that isn't what he said. What are you doing, Lord? You said you were going to destroy these people. You're always forgiving. He wasn't really open personally as he was doing the Lord's work to what the Lord wanted to do. The Lord didn't want to destroy. The Lord wanted to save. Because Jonah still, in a sense, had a closed heart to the depth of the Lord's plan. Because he was only doing his mission on a superficial level. Because he was preaching conversion to others without even remembering his own conversion and how the Lord was merciful to him, saving him through the miracle of the fish in the Mediterranean. He missed that fundamental aspect of God. He missed the one thing necessary. Today I celebrate my 15th anniversary as a deacon, along with all my classmates, because my priestly ordination is always on the Feast of St. Jose Maria, to whom I have a great devotion. This is the day during the year in which I say the very moving prayers of a priest on the anniversary of his ordination. And on my diaconal ordination, as we will have a diaconal ordination this Saturday, where Tim Flaherty, who comes to worship with us every Saturday, will be ordained, along with a little over a dozen other. This was put front and center. So at a diaconal ordination that someone on the road to the priesthood says, Lord, you are my one thing necessary, and renounces a family of his own, saying, I'm going to love you more, Lord, than I would even love the tremendous goods of marriage and family. It's on a diaconal ordination that a priest promises to pray the breviary faithfully 5 times a day for the needs of the entire people of God, to put prayer first so that the Lord might feed him, so that he might then be able to feed others. It's on a diaconal ordination that the bishop puts into the deacon's hands the gospel and says, receive the word of God, whose herald you have now become. Believe what you read, teach what you believe, practice what you teach. Supposed to be a man of this mission. Supposed to lead to a life of continual conversion in 3 ways. In the word. Every time a deacon, and it's at the diaconal ordination that one receives the faculties to preach, preaches the word of God, the first recipient, the first hearer of that word needs to be himself. Can't preach conversion to others like Jonah was trying to do unless he himself is a recipient of the Lord's mercy, so that he's always able to preach the mercy of the Lord as a grateful recipient rather than just as a dispenser. Second part of the deacon's ministry is at the altar. And the altar is a perpetual call to conversion. Every time that we handle the Lord Jesus in our hands, and deacons do, bring communion to the sick, distribute in Holy Communion, distribute in the precious blood, etc. It's supposed to be a means by which we become as humble as Jesus is in that host, and that we recognize that we are called to go and do the same, do this in memory of me, to give our own life out of love for others. That requires conversion, because everyone is tempted toward selfishness, toward self-centeredness, toward putting himself first rather than the Lord and others. And then the third part of it is what's called diakonia proper, which is the Greek word for service of charity, going out and continuing Jesus' work of the washing of the feet and all the wounds of the people. That is the great way to bring people to mercy, because we're trying to wash with the love of the Lord, and that love actually changes people. But that's just not the work of deacons. It's the work of every Christian. And we need to look at our own life and see, am I making the time to open up my heart to allow the Lord in to feed me? Second, is that changing me? When I hear the Word of God, does it change me for the better? Because if it's not, then we're not listening the right way. Because the Word of God is always a word to be done. It's always a saving and life-giving word, especially when it's a word that prunes us from our sins. It's not meant to beat us down. It's meant to prune us of certain areas so that we might be able to grow. Every time when I see a neighbor, do I feel impelled on the inside by my Christian faith to love them with the love of Christ, or to love them only with a human affection, or not to love them at all? These are what these readings are about. As the Lord tells us today to come to Him so that He can feed us, He's going to tell us at the end of the Mass, go, to bring His own nourishment, to bring the strength that He gives us out to a world that so often is even busier than Martha and living lives worse than the Ninevites, whom God wants to save through us. Jesus said that no greater sign would be given than the sign of Jonah. There are two significances to that. The first is that Jesus was always Himself preaching conversion. And the second was that like Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the Lord would spend 3 days in the belly of the earth before He would be spewed up into our world anew in order to bring His light. As we enter into that Passover of Jesus now, we remember that we enter into His death so that we can enter into His life and thereby become icons of the sign of Jonah in the midst of the world. That's the Christian life. May we respond faithfully as we choose here the best part of all.